From the United Kingdom, this is the Hawthorne Report. News and analysis from a white nationalist perspective. Insights and commentary that affect your lives. News for you, uncensored by the Jew. And here is your host, James Hawthorne.
Welcome to the Hawthorne Report, everybody. This is your news portal without the Jewish filter. Top stories. Anti-fascists in Great Britain want to close down VNN. Thousands rally in Paris over immigration. Far-right politician Jean-Marie Le Pen slams French national football team. Newcastle woman stroke victim wakes up with a Jamaican accent. National Front logo is registered in New Zealand. New Zealand teenagers have the highest suicide rate in the world. Final story. Anti-fascists in Great Britain have started a campaign through the Anti-British Searchlight organization. This is posted on their website to the Home Secretary, John Reid. The petition reads as follows. We believe it is imperative that you take action against websites such as Red Watch, Nonce Watch, Blood and Honor, Stormfront and the VNN site that incite violence against individuals. We agree with Angela Eagle MP, who, speaking about Red Watch in a Commons debate on 21st of June, said, there appears to be a pattern of violence which is aimed at individuals who are targeted by this website, which cannot simply be a coincidence. Hate websites do not deserve the protection of the principles of freedom of speech when they seek to prevent others from exercising their democratic rights. Red Watch responded by posting a photograph of Angela Eagle with a report of the debate. Although the website may be hosted outside the UK, the people who run them and provide information to them are in the UK and their names are known. A court in Quebec in June convicted a Canadian citizen for willfully promoting hatred through a racist website that he created and managed. Although the site itself was hosted outside Canada, the same action could be possible here. These Nazi websites not only incite violence against individuals, but also offer bomb-making instructions themselves or include links to other far-right terrorist websites from which manuals on bombing and poisons can be downloaded. Two men, one from Leeds and one from Hull, have been raided by the police. Both of them have previous criminal convictions and are connected to the Red Watch, Nonce Watch and Blood and Honor websites. Within weeks of their computers being seized for examination by the police, they have re-equipped and are back in action. Just how long will the police keep extending their bail? We urge you to act now, yours sincerely, and at that point you can put your name in. Well, this just goes to prove the anti-British Searchlight organization trying to close down websites that are hosted in the United States of America, which do come under the Freedom of Information Act, First Amendment of the Constitution of the US. Mentioning Vanguard News Network and Stormfront, very, very interesting indeed, two of the most prominent white nationalist websites on the internet right now, gathering thousands of posters each day to talk and mill over the issues of interest to white nationalists all over the world. All I say to the Searchlight organization is good luck with this one, because taking on the American First Amendment, my friend, you're going to need it. Thousands rally in Paris over immigration. This is not a title. The title is not what it seems. Thousands of people marched through Paris on Saturday to protest plans to tighten restrictions on immigration and step up deportations of immigrant families with children who are in the country illegally. Interior Minister Nicolas Sarkozy's new immigration law, which passed Parliament in February, makes it harder to gain residency permits and ends the practice of automatically granting papers to illegal immigrants who can prove they have lived in France for 10 years. Sarkozy also has vowed to send home at least 25,000 illegals this year, up from about 20,000 in 2005. Many leaders of the socialist opposition attended Saturday's march, including former Finance Minister Dominique Strauss-Kahn, former Prime Minister Laurent Fabius, and former Labour Minister Martine Aubry. Polls suggest illegal immigration is a top concern ahead of next year's presidential elections, with many in France fearing that immigrants poach jobs, soak up rich state welfare benefits, and commit crimes. In October, Sarkozy temporarily suspended plans to deport thousands of school-age illegal immigrants and their families until the end of the academic year on July 4th. With that date fast approaching, it's here right now, folks. Some activists say they are ready to hide families from police. France is the center and the culture of European civilization. Yet, apparently, from this report, it appears that the French people haven't had enough of illegal immigration, non-white immigration into France. If they're putting thousands on the streets against these restrictions that have been put forward by this liberal government, then it looks like things have to go down the road just a little bit more in France before the French people finally wake up and vote for a party of national and racial consciousness. Speaking of national and racial consciousness, Jean-Marie Le Pen, the leader of the French Front National, has slammed the French football team. French far-right leader Jean-Marie Le Pen complained that minorities are overrepresented in France's national soccer team, a news reported yesterday. Quote, "Perhaps the coach went overboard on the proportion of players of color," Le Pen was quoted as saying in French sports daily L'Equipe. Le Pen said he believed that the French don't feel totally represented by the team, which no doubt explains why there isn't the warmth that there was 8 years ago when France cheered its World Cup team to victory on its home turf in 1998. France's team has fewer non-white starters than in 1998, when the nation embraced the national team for being black, white, Arab. Zidane, a French of Algerian descent, scored 2 goals in France's 3-0 victory over Brazil in the final. Le Pen's National Front party blames immigrants for an array of social woes in France. The National Front contends, for instance, that Muslim immigrants are taking jobs from other French. The National Front leader is looking to run in next year's presidential election. He shocked the world when he made it to the runoffs in 2002 presidential election, horrified voters from the left and right, rallied behind incumbent President Chirac in the second round, giving him a victory of 82% of the vote. With the previous report of many thousands of French folks marching in the streets of Paris against the restrictions of immigration, next presidential elections next year should be very, very interesting indeed. I'm concerned that France, as I said before, being the cradle of Western civilization, the arts, the wonderful buildings, the great cathedrals in France, what is going on in French people's minds where they can just go onto the streets and say that massive immigration is fine for France? Mass immigration is fine for France, taking white French people's jobs, undercutting white French people's pay, forcing white working Frenchmen onto the unemployment register. Looks like these people marching in France were the usual hoo-ha Henrys, as we call them in the United Kingdom, who are from the middle class and aren't really at the moment touched by the massive wave of immigration which is infecting our Europe and our European civilization. Newcastle woman woke up after suffering a stroke and started speaking with a Jamaican accent, man. Linda Walker came round in hospital to discover her distinctive northeast twang had disappeared. The former university administrator from Newcastle is suffering from a case of foreign accent syndrome, where patients wake up speaking differently after suffering a brain injury. Miss Walker, who was 60, told the Evening Chronicle, "I got very down about it at first. It is so strange because you don't feel like the same person. I didn't realize what I sounded like, but then my speech therapist played a tape of me talking. I was just devastated. On the telephone, she sounds like she has a Jamaican accent, but other people have said this is Eastern European. Researchers at Oxford University have found that patients with foreign accent syndrome have suffered damage to areas of the brain that affect speech. The result is often a drawing out or clipping of the vowels that mimic the accent of a particular country, such as Spain or France, even though the sufferer has limited exposure to that accent. The syndrome was first identified during the Second World War when a Norwegian woman suffered shrapnel damage to her brain. She developed a German accent, which led to being ostracized by her community. Nick Miller, a senior lecturer in language speech science at Newcastle University, said the condition could occur in patients who had suffered a stroke or other brain injury. It is not such a rare condition, and I probably come across 4 to 5 cases a year, he said. The accent varies from ear to ear. Two people could hear the same accent and one would say it was Jamaican and the other East European. At our clinic, we offer speech therapy rehabilitation to patients, which can help people come to terms with the condition. This poor white lady, I'm assuming she's white, doesn't say in the poor what her racial makeup is, but I'm assuming she is white, wakes up after having a stroke and starts to speak with a Jamaican accent, man. Pretty sad, but it's a very interesting story on accents, as we all do have them. Even those who think they don't have one, guess what, you do have one. New Zealand National Front logo registered to appear on ballot papers. The Electoral Commission has registered the logo of the New Zealand National Front, despite 28 ferocious objections. Chief Executive Dr. Helena Kapp said the Commission found the application to be in order and the proposed logo to meet the legal requirements of not being confusing, misleading, indecent, offensive, or in breach of someone else's intellectual property rights. In reaching its decision, commissioners carefully considered 28 objections received in response to public notes advertising the application, 11 of which were the same petition with a total of 127 signatures. Objectors were generally concerned with the cross-like element of the logo, its perceived associations with Christian, Nazi, or military imagery, and an alleged offensiveness that resulted. Responses from the applicant and counter-responses were also considered. Cross-like imagery is widespread and used in many contexts, so we could not accept objectors' arguments. Many of the objections were explicitly related to opinions of the applicant party's policies or beliefs. However, these matters are outside the scope of what the law requires the Commission to both consider and confine itself, Dr. Kat explained. Registration of a logo allows it to appear on ballot papers alongside the party's name for the party vote in the case of a registered party, and alongside the names of electorate candidates in the case of both registered and unregistered parties. Registration does not confer any intellectual property rights. This is great news for the New Zealand National Front, having their being able to have their logo on the ballot papers. Just for the utter dullard lemming who comes along and he sees the logo hits him smack in the face, and then it gives the New Zealand National Front an even better chance to get larger votes, as the massive immigration flow affects our white New Zealand also. And it's great to see an organisation that's coming together, united, and fighting for the white New Zealand people. More news on New Zealand's National Front as and when it arrives. Getting back to New Zealand, a great report I just received, many thanks to the Aryan Attack, the e-zine magazine of the National Socialist Movement in the United States of America. I'll post this whole article on the Hawthorne Report for a thread for everyone to read. It's a great read, called National Socialism, the Only Cure for the Jewish Infection. This week, I'll just give you the brief highlights of this article. I won't read it. I'll save you all. I won't read it all, but I'll post the whole article on the thread for everyone to read. This week, some profoundly disturbing statistics were published about conditions in New Zealand. New Zealand was once an idyllic white country that was blessed with spectacular scenery as well as perfect weather and soil for farming and white habitation. Anyone who has seen the Lord of the Rings movies, which were filmed in New Zealand, could not fail to be impressed by the breathtaking beauty of that small island nation. Statistics have been brought forward by the United Nations Children's Fund. The statistics that were published this week show that several decades of the social experiment have turned the beautiful country of New Zealand into a hellhole. What's happened in New Zealand? This is what has been revealed with this report from the United Nations Children's Fund. New Zealand teenagers have the highest suicide rate in the world. New Zealand has the highest rate of cannabis use and the third highest rate of methamphetamine use in the world. New Zealand has the second highest per capita prison population in the world. New Zealand has the third highest death rate in the world for children who die as a result of maltreatment. New Zealand has the highest mortality rate from solvent abuse in the world. New Zealand has the second highest teenage pregnancy rate in the world, and New Zealand has the second highest crime rate in the world. The United Nations Children's Fund reported that New Zealand had a rate of child death that was six times the average of the 27 countries included in the survey. The rate of child death as a result of abuse was, for example, 13 times than the figure for Spain. Children who grew up in single-parent families were twice as likely to develop serious psychiatric illnesses and addictions later in life. The report goes on, stated that if current trends continue, by the year 2010, more than half of all white children born in New Zealand and more than three-quarters of all Maori infants would live in fatherless families. More than 300,000 children in New Zealand have no contact with their fathers. 89,000 have been processed by the family court and suffered emotional abuse by being deprived of their fathers and their extended families. Last year, 150 New Zealand fathers committed suicide because they were unable to see their children. Half of the girls in South Auckland were over 11 years of age, having had sexually transmitted diseases. The national figure is one in four girls. And this report goes on and on and on. 72% of teenage murders, 60% of rapists, 70% of children who are incarcerated, twice as likely to quit school. This report is from the statistics published by the United States Bureau of Census show the terrible results of fatherless families. This report is also concerning about the United States. 75% teenage suicides, 80% of adolescents in psychiatric hospitals, 90% of runaways, 75% of teenage pregnancies. Pretty sad if most of this is white children. And the report goes on. As I said before, many thanks to the National Socialist Movement, Easy Aryan Attack, for this great report. Again, I'll post this on the Hawthorne thread for everyone to indulge and read and take it in. This is going to be a brief one today, everybody, but I just want to let everybody know that if you're not doing anything for this movement of ours, if you get up in the morning and you can look yourself in the mirror and you're shaving or putting on your lipstick, if you're a man or a woman, whatever it is, and you haven't done nothing for this great movement that we are involved in, this great eternal struggle, this great fight for the survival of our white racial people, our white racial consciousness, if you can look yourself in the mirror and say, yes, today I did something for the movement. No matter how little it was, I did something. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of everyone out there that you are doing something. If you can look yourself in the mirror and say, yes, I'm doing something for this movement, I want everybody who listens to this program to be involved in some sort of organization. If you don't want to be a member of a membership organization, If you want to do white nationalist activities on your own, there's plenty of things you can do. You can pick the organization of your choice, which you don't have to join it if you don't wish, but you can put out their propaganda in your neighborhood. Do it locally in your area. You don't have to travel far. You don't have to even have to have a car. Just get the literature out to our people. There are people who are independently now, and especially in the United States, publishing newspapers. All you have to give them is a small little donation, and they will give you newspapers with great interesting articles that our people can read and can possibly awaken them to the dangers of massive immigration, to Jewish takeover, to the end of our white Western civilization. It could just spark that awakening that we are trying desperately to get our people to come to us in their thousands, and then next in their millions, and then in the millions and millions and millions, and then eventually we will take back all our countries and re-establish Aryan white civilization in these lands that now are being infested with the hordes of the third world. Friends, I ask you, brothers and sisters, what have you done today for this movement? If you have done nothing, shame on you. Get out there and do something. Leaflets, flyers, stickers, business cards, no matter what it is, get out there on the streets, away from your computer. It's vital that we all do something. Every little bit that we do, our movement is like a big jigsaw. We are just a small piece of the overall picture. But we have to put our little block into the overall jigsaw to make the whole thing work, and to try and wake up our slumbering white people. They're there for us. We know they're there for us. All you have to do is go knocking on people's doors with a friendly smile, looking well-groomed, and then just start talking with these people. Give them some pamphlets. Communicate with them. Make them see that we are not the monsters and the race haters that the Jewish media tries to portray us. We're normal, we're civilized, we're people who care about our culture, who care about our people, and indeed who care about our white Western civilization. And those of us involved in this movement are not ready, are not prepared to sit back any longer and let these hordes infest our nations. Stand up like white men, stand up like white women. Let's all unite together on the street. Let's do something. Get away from our computers and do something vital for our people, no matter how long it takes. Let's do it. Let's work as a team. Let's work as a unit. Let's come together. White people, unite. This is James Hawthorne. I'll see you next time.
The Hawthorne Report is a production of Vanguard News Network Broadcasting.